and welcome to another episode of The Impact Lab. Got an amazing guest with me today, someone who is a dear friend, probably the most likable person I've ever met. I'm really delighted to welcome Shireen. She's got an incredible background, incredible story. Hi, Shireen, how are you?
Hi, I'm Lesley. How are you? Thank you for this intro.
I'm very well, thank you. As is tradition, let's start with the reverse Turing test. So, Shireen, who first introduced us to each other?
OP.
OP. The one and only.
Yeah, our dear Olivier.
What a lovely guy.
Yeah, he is.
How are things with you?
I'm good. Listen, everything is great. Enjoying Paris, coming back from Dubai. So all good.
Fantastic. Why don't you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself?
Where should I start? So I always introduce myself. This is the best introduction, and this is how I see myself. I see myself as a mom and entrepreneur with 20 plus years in telco, entertainment, technology industry, launching very interesting products in Middle East and Africa. And I'm a proud mom of two boys. So this is the best introduction I can say about myself.
That's awesome. And that's the most important thing, of course, being that being a mother is above all other things. What company are you working with at the moment? What have you done in the past?
Well, currently I am driving the commercial efforts for a new live streaming shopping app called Lively. We are introducing the first of its own live shopping experience in the Gulf region, starting by Saudi Arabia. It's a very cool product, very cool team, and I'm looking forward for the launch very soon, inshallah.
Inshallah. And yeah, before that?
Well, before that, I was leading the telco team at TikTok. Before that, I led the introduction of Deezer in Middle East and Africa. And before I was at Oracle, Cineverse. I'm kind of old, so let's not go very far away. But let's say I introduced cool product in Middle East and Africa. Let's put it this way.
Let's leave it at that. That's cool. That's more than, I mean, you've had such an incredible career and you're so modest about it as well, which I always love to. Look, you know, we've spoken before, obviously, the podcast, The Impact Lab's real focus is on, in the new AI era, how can people make a real impact in their careers? And some careers, some sort of paths in work are going to be more valuable than others. And I think that you've got a skill set which is going to be incredibly valuable. And I think it's really important that people understand what it is and how it is. And nominally, we call it like partnership management or strategic partnerships. I think that's the thing that you are sort of exceptional at. So you've built like a really powerful career in partnerships. What do you think makes a strategic partnership actually work?
Good question. Building a strategic partnership is like building long-term relationship. Seeing the partner as a long-term friend that you build trust with, you discuss with, because it's always better and easier to negotiate with someone you know than with a stranger. So this is what I learned actually throughout the years. I can't say that 20 years old Shireen knew that. I worked hard on it. So, and I always say you don't sell partnerships. You co-create it. Mm-hmm. So what made the interesting journey for me was to build relationship with my partners, and most famous ones are the big telco groups from STC, MTN, Orange, Ooredoo, Zain. I can say that genuinely I have good friends working in these big brands. So what made it interesting for me is to understand their need, having the hard conversations, being honest about it, sharing the vision. My vision is, I'm here to do so. What's your vision? What's your mission? How can I be part of your success story? How can you help me make an impact and succeed. So that's basically how I could resume how I tried to achieve and to succeed in the strategic partnerships that I've built so far in Middle East and Africa.
God, you've given so much value just in that. So I think one of the most profound things is you co-create partnerships, you don't sell partnerships. And absolutely, you see so many partnership managers who are really just glorified salespeople, and you're not in any way that. You are, I've never had a conversation with you that didn't end with a connection with somebody else. You're always looking to connect and network people. And how do you think that comes naturally, or did you build that skill?
I think it's natural. I love connecting with people and connecting people if I see value. I learn a lot from others, actually. And if I see an added value from connecting Abdelaziz to someone else, I'll definitely do it with great pleasure. And I think this is what Opie sent when we had our discussions. And then he was like, you know what? Let me introduce you to Abdelaziz, because there's something that you can guys do together. And see, we have been just discussing for a year now, and happily I am in your podcast today. So I'm lucky actually to have this.
That's fantastic. What do you think, how do you go about, if you talk about like the process of building a strategic partnership? So let's say, you know, at TikTok you were working with telcos, so you could identify which ones based on the strategy of TikTok. But what's like the first step? What's the first thing that you do? Do you like reach out to someone on email, or how does it work?
I personally do it this way. Know your customer, you know, the key where, know your customer very well, which target I am working on today. Do I know someone in that organization? Yes or no? Do I have a friend there that can connect me to someone else? So hence the connection and building long-term relationships. And then I reach out very, hi, I'm Shireen. I'm working for TikTok now. It was lovely seeing you years back, or Mobile World Congress or whatever. Do you mind introducing me to this? Because I have this cool product. I believe we can do magic together. So, and then the introductions go. If I don't know anyone, I'm very humble and I cold call people, which is the basic of sales. You know, a strategic partnership is the leveling up of a sales person. And I always say I'm a salesperson and this is how we do things. And there is no ego in it. People, if people doesn't answer, they don't answer Shireen, they don't answer the company or the need or the nagging, which is, I totally understand. So I don't take it personal. I always try to reach out to people. And then, again, as I mentioned earlier, when I meet my partner, I try to create this trust to build the bridge. How can we both succeed? I'm not here to sell you so I can win and you lose. I hate this. And we don't do this. We don't do this now. And we don't do this at our age. And we don't do this after long-term relationship / partnership. Even if I sold you before SIM cards and then roaming services and then music streaming and now I'm selling you TikTok, doesn't mean that I have to sell you at all costs. So sharing vision, sharing constraints. Oh, yeah. You know, just the constraints part of a discussion is very interesting, because we all have very hard targets to meet. And if I can be part of making life easier for you, whether is it to increase revenue, attract more users, differentiate yourself, leverage this service, please be my guest. Use me as a tool, as a service, as a product to do this. And at the same time, make it a lovely moment and a success story in my career, saying that I achieved that with you. So it's, again, mutual benefit and deep understanding of the business, of course.
Yeah, like, as you're speaking, it sounds to me like that kind of a role. You mentioned a couple of times that the importance of being able and being comfortable having difficult conversations with your counterparts. And I guess you can only have difficult conversations with people you have an affection toward, with someone who you're kind of friends with, or you have at least a strong relationship with. So how important do you think empathy is? Like, do you think, I know you to be a very empathetic person, but, you know, is that something that people can train themselves to be more empathetic, to be able to build those relationships?
The short answer is yes. Empathy can come with training, but again, and we come from this business. There are sharks in the business who can do business as well, very good, and they can succeed. Do they take it personal? Is it a success for them when they say, I signed that deal, I'm the only winner in this, and I get you? Is it ethical? I cannot sleep, even if it's only business. I can't sleep. It's my legacy. It's my image and reputation. And if I go tomorrow and sell you a different kind of product, or I build business with you and I scale it into emerging markets, I don't want you to remember me as the bad person who came in, signed the deal, that I was the only winner. I can't do this. So the short answer is empathy is very important. It's very ethical. But people can do whatever they want at the end of the day. You can't control the other person. I stay honest and authentic to myself, and that's all. It's your choice to play by this rule or not. I can't force you.
Beautiful. Can you tell me about a partnership that you're particularly proud of, one that maybe was a bit challenging to get over the line?
I'm very proud of all my partnerships. Okay. But, you know, let's go by the recent ones with TikTok. When I started with TikTok, it was 2019, introducing TikTok to the Middle East and Africa, short-form video entertainment. It was, you know, something new. And again, back then, we had to build our brand positioning, brand reputation, coming from a different culture. The app was growing globally, but in the Middle East and Africa, making TikTok accessible to people, you were competing with their, a budget for Eat or just paying, you know, their liabilities, you know, anything more important than just watching content on the phone. So building this story and going to telcos and say, hi, my name is TikTok. I am here to democratize expression, to make people, to bring joy and creativity, and to consume data. I'm not here, I'm not a data hog. On the contrary, for the telco, I am a new revenue stream, a creative one. I'm your partner. Let's work together and make TikTok accessible for people. So this was totally challenging and crazy back then. Eventually, successfully, we created what we call the zero rating data packages or the subsidized data packages. Telcos really understood the game and they played with us and made it possible for people to consume data with very cheap amount of money to make it to make the impact actually, and to offer a window of expression on each one's mobile phone, which was really interesting. And of course, we had a massive adoption of the app. So that's one of my success stories, and I'm very proud of it. And of course, one is building TikTok Wi-Fi in South Africa, so offering free internet to people. We built like 50 hotspots, free internet to people. This was as well interesting and made a difference in people's life, because people could just go through TikTok, enter their credentials and access internet, not only TikTok. So this was as well one of the projects that really close to my heart. What else I can share with you? Introducing Deezer, music streaming, paid music streaming in a region that is used to pirate music. You can just consume music as much as you can without really paying for it. So it was introducing new culture, making Deezer in Arabic as well. But I love that. I love challenges. Introducing a new product into emerging markets and educating the market. That's the part of a job that I enjoy most, really.
I think that, what you've described there is kind of 50 years work for somebody. You've described two things which are household terms in the Middle East and Africa now. So the first one is paid streaming, you know, through Deezer and alike, and you were the pioneers of that in this region. And in Africa, most people who aren't in Africa won't even know what zero rating is, but it's a real thing. The fact that there's, zero rating for certain apps to consume content is a real thing in Africa, and TikTok were the pioneers, really, of that concept. And it's made a massive difference to people's lives. And I think one of the things that people underestimate is TikTok as a career option for content creators in Africa has become like a genuine career option. And in part, I'm sure that zero rating has helped that, has really helped sort of accelerate that through the adoption. So look, I hope you're as proud as I am of all of the things that you've done. That's just incredible.
I'm proud. Yeah, I'm proud. I mean, and I'm happy for the people that are using old services and enjoying their lives through listening to music, creating content, and I'm happy that I was part of this happiness.
Of course. What would you say has been like your most defining career challenge?
Honestly?
Yeah.
It's balancing my ambition as a businesswoman and motherhood. You know, we all talk about it. You know, work and life balance doesn't exist. It's a myth, guys, and especially guys. It is a myth. It's not very common for a woman to be a salesperson or a strategic partnership. You know, it's more a male job. But, well, don't ask me why. Part of me loving challenges. I chose this career. Sometimes I had to be traveling in different continents and mothering my boys, being present in their lives. Especially, I'm lucky enough to have two lovely boys with two different needs. My second child, is an extraordinary a child with a special need. So he has a development delays. And having him, and after having him, and it was like, okay, should I stop working? I had this question, in my mind, and of course from all the surroundings. How would you continue a career where you would travel, do extensive meetings, and be very focused while having a child with disability? And here it was. Instantly, I had the answer in my head. I was like, okay, this is not a punishment. It's obliged me to be more creative, actually, to organize my life in an extraordinary way. Is it difficult? Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's not easy at all because you don't have the playbook to do this. To mother, again, a special need kid or a normal kid, and travel and be successful in your career. So this was the challenge. How did I navigate it? I think after trial and error, and because again, as a mother, as a business woman, I'm work in progress. I'm learning and unlearning. So what I found is it's better to keep going, to try, to stop listening to the imposter syndromes in me. And stop looking for perfections. I'm a good enough mother, and I'm a good enough businesswoman. I'm doing my best, at least. I'm showing up every day in my boys' life. I'm doing my best to be present in their schooling system, answering emails, you know, therapy sessions, and I delegate a lot. Actually, I learned lots of management skills through my boys and mothering. I had to, you know, I did something very well. I trained myself. I trained someone else to do it. Go and do it, please. So I remote mothered my boys, and I'm totally fine with it now. And I was showing up in meetings and saying, yeah, I had my boys, and I'm sorry, I cannot attend this. And luckily, remember we had COVID, where all meetings were online. So people suddenly discovered that I'm a mother and there are boys and there is someone knocking on my door because I'm working from home. This helped a lot. It made us all show that, you know what, guys, we are humans and it's totally fine to do both. And again, I try to do my best in both. Am I perfect? No. Am I looking to be perfect? No. And I'm not sorry for it. Sorry, I'm not sorry. So so that's the continuing challenge that I'm facing. And I'm working on it.
That's beautiful. So let's stick to the most difficult job of all of the jobs that you have, which is being a mother of two. So you're raising two boys, and you're raising two boys at a similar time that I'm raising kids, which is in a world that is shifting massively. And the tech shift in AI is having an influence on all of the generations. So how do you think AI has influenced their education or will influence their education?
I know that AI is, it depends how you present it. So I am a pro AI person. I like how AI can be used in my service. So, you know, use it, because if not, it will use you. So I decided to get the best of AI. Again, having two boys with totally different learning path. With AI now, I don't have to figure it out alone. My older boy, he's 14. He is a super creative, artistic, entrepreneurial guy. He created his own fashion brand at 14, again. And he's very successful in what he's doing. Does he like traditional academic system? Absolutely not. He doesn't thrive. He doesn't fit in this box, which is totally understandable. How AI can help him? Good question. If tomorrow there is AI, if there are schools run by AI, I'll be the first to enroll my kid. Really? Because why not give him more tools to enrich his journey and make it easier for him to learn the basic learning subjects that will help him later on in his career? That's totally fine. And again, for the little one, having AI suggesting more tools and more ways to help him in his development delays, that's lovely. So I don't see AI as a threat. I see it as a tool. It's us who can use it the right way. So I'm not sure this answer suits you, but that's
no. I agree. I think that AI is the ultimate partner, as long as it's used as a partner. as long as it's used to partner something that exists as opposed to replace something. So I'm very much, you know, I'm a, you know, we're an enterprise open AI users at our company, and you know, we spend a lot of time in using AI as a partner. I think the only challenge that exists, and it's I think it's going to be more for the generation who are in their teens now, or maybe just graduating. The challenge that exists for them is that if you don't build that foundation of knowledge and the ability to deal with real people, and you just outsource all of that work to AI, you're not building any actual skills for yourself. Whereas, you know, another guest put it really well, if you use AI as a sparring partner, as someone to bounce ideas off and evolve your own thinking, it's incredibly useful. I do it all the time. Like when preparing for this podcast, you know, I use AI to say, okay, what kind of questions do you think I should be asking Shireen? So I'm very pro AI in the right context, but I think that there are some dangers to being exclusively reliant on AI. And but we'll see. We're all, it's kind of the Wild West at the minute. It's like, it's not even like the, because, well, I won't date you, but I'll date myself. You know, I lived pre-internet and post-internet, and that was a big shift, pre and post-internet. But this is way bigger. This is much, much bigger than that. So it's going to be interesting. The next 5 years are going to be wild. It's going to be so much fun to see what happens. But sticking with...
You don't have options, right?
100%.
You don't have any options.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
And I like the way that I put it as a tool, you put it as a partner. And I like the way that you used it. It is, absolutely is. And we cannot fall behind. So it's better to know how to master it, how to use it as a partner to accelerate things, as a booster, rather than feel as it's a threat, of course. Yeah,
100%. Sticking with schooling now, and sticking with the boys now. Are you making any sort of different schooling or learning decisions because of where the world is heading? Like, for example, you know, my eldest is she studies at an online school in the UK. Shout out to Heaven Learning Academy, based in the UK. So, are you making any different schooling or learning decisions based on how the world is evolving? Time for a quick message from this episode's sponsor. On the Impact Lab podcast, we're all about unlocking potential. And that's exactly what I've seen from Heaven Learning Academy. Not just for my daughter, but for students around the globe. Heaven Learning Academy is a UK-based British curriculum online school serving students in Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Qatar, and around the world. They specialize in delivering a world-class education that fosters curiosity, academic excellence, and it's all right from your home. If you're seeking a British education that impacts your child's future, no matter whether they're in reception or all the way through to A-levels, you should definitely explore Heaven Learning Academy. The links are in the show notes and you can contact them directly. All right, back to the show.
Yes, and I'm looking, actually, again, when I said that, I'm looking for a smart school using more AI in the education system to enroll, especially my older son, because I see he's really not thriving in the classic system, traditional one, and there is no need to torture him just because I had the traditional, I had my MBA, and that's okay, that's mom, not him. So I'm definitely looking around for better options for him, for sure. Yeah, and if you know, please send me recommendations.
Absolutely will. All right. As one last area that I wanted to ask you about, right? So I want you to try and give some real advice for potential future partnership managers. So if someone's thinking about a career in partnership management, what's a piece of advice that you could give them at the early stages of their careers?
Stay humble. Know your partner very well. Don't take things personal. Don't try to sell fast. Play the long game. Build the relationship. People first. Always, always people first. You don't know who will unlock the deal with you. So always be kind. professional and again, use empathy as much as you can. That's my two cents in this. Not as you know the strategic or sales technique. They can learn it from books and from courses. That's the soft skill that I would definitely recommend.
So you recommend people focus on like their softer skills there, you know, even things like presenting, building rapport. What's that book called? Carnegie, Making Friends or something. I forgot what it's called.
Yeah.
How to Make Friends and Influence
People. Yeah. True. Absolutely. And being real, doing the job, not counting on AI to do the job on your behalf as well. Just spend time knowing your partner. That's very important. You know, these human skills, no one can replace it yet.
100%. I think you're totally right.
Your job sustainability.
I completely agree. I think that, and that's really why I wanted to talk to you today, is because I think that your job is irreplaceable. I think that even as AI evolves, humans, you know, we need human contact. We need, you know, we're born being held by our mother and we need to die in the same way. And that, like, that the journey in between doesn't change. We need human contact. And I think that roles like partnership managers are going to become increasingly valuable. Last question. Bit of a curveball for you. What excites you in your life most right now? And I'm gonna caveat it. Of course, your children do. Yeah, same with me. But outside of your children, what excites you most in your life right now?
Learning new things, learning live streaming, online shopping, customer behaviors, the psychology of fashion. That's, you know, learning something new is really very important to me. So learning, meeting new people, connecting with old friends, having genuine conversations. Even if the conversation is hard, it's important. Keeps me rooted and human. So that's what excites me more.
Fantastic. Shireen, thank you so much for taking the time to be with me today. As always, all of the show notes will contain all the information around Shireen, all of her links, and also the answer to the reverse Turing test. And I look forward to seeing you all at the next Impact Lab podcast.
Thank
you. All right, before you go, just a quick message from me. Thank you for listening to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it made you think, maybe change your mind on a few things. If you want to reach out to us, my email and all of the links are in the show notes. Please do reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. Please, please, please take a moment. Wherever you heard this podcast, please leave us a 5-star review. I'd really appreciate it. It really helps get the podcast up and out into other people so that other people can benefit from the work that we're doing. I'd really appreciate it if you took a minute just to do that. I wanted to share with you a couple of things just before we go in the last 30 seconds. The first thing is that, you know, the impactlab.store is where we have all of our courses. We've got a free course called the AI Trap. It's a free course designed to make sure that AI becomes your superpower and not your crutch. It's for anyone that's using AI and to help you really get an understanding of how to build your own core foundational competencies whilst using AI at the same time. There's also a paid course up there at the moment, which is the Impact Marketing System. This is our flagship course. If you are in marketing or if you are in business development or if you've got your own business, you really got to understand the foundations of what makes an impact in marketing and what are the core tenets of things that you need to do. The Impact Marketing System is the system that I have trained for over 10 years to get people from basically very novice marketers to become world-class marketers. And there are people all around the world, thousands of people who have done this course working at massive organizations or running their own very successful businesses, in part because of the things that they've learned through the Impact Marketing System. So please take the time to visit theimpactlab.store. If you're a brand in the GCC and you're looking for a digital marketing agency that'll cut through the noise and make a real impact on your business, then Kush Digital is your man. Go to kush.digital or you can email the team at contact@kush.digital. Kush is with the C, C-U-S-H, .digital. Digital marketing, that makes an impact. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Don't forget to leave that review. Thanks a lot. See you at the next episode.